sort of my sweet spot. Speaking of sweet
Yeah.
spot, what's up,
What
dog?
up?
What are you
I got the
doing?
sweet spot. Fuck,
What do you
going to the
got
grocery store.
right now?
Yeah. Dude, Charlie, did your arm hurt after that vaccination?
Yeah, like 3 days. I couldn't sleep.
Oh wait,
Fuck, man. Like,
you guys got the shot. Nice.
I went today. Yeah. That's
Does it
crazy.
hurt?
I mean, it doesn't hurt when they do it, but about an hour later, it hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah. You can't lay on it. You'll roll over on it
No.
tonight and it'll wake you up.
Really?
Dude,
It's bad.
that Night Stalker documentary has me on the edge of my seat, Mike.
Dude, listen, all I've been thinking about is I was like, why did you not know that you should have been a fucking homicide detective, first of all? Like, I was like,
Yeah.
no one gave me the test. Like, where was the test where they told you you were a forest ranger or you would go do this thing? Because it would have come out, you should be a homicide detective. You're a lunatic, you're obsessed. You'll get in deep.
Welcome back to It's All Bad. This week we have Ann Pine. I think that's how you say her name. Who's genius
Yeah.
and was a complete deviant.
Oh yeah. She seemed to go. She was going the distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was going the distance, and but also very, very cool. And a funny storyteller. She was
Anne's
rap.
funny, man. I love her. I don't even know what to say about her. She's bananas. Like, I mean, she like I'm literally kind of speechless about Anne.
I don't really know how you summarize, and there's so much you need to kind of just take the journey with her in the
She's like
episode.
a superhero, really, because she helps so many people stay sober now, you know.
Yeah,
But yeah.
and is
But she's
also
wild.
she's wild. A lot of great outfits and stuff that you'd probably
Yeah.
have seen in the pictures. We're gonna post some of those pictures, right, Charlie? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got some great pictures on Instagram that she sent us.
Danny right now, by the way, can't be here right now because he is living his best life.
In Oaxaca.
Yeah, where is
Oaxaca.
it? In
That's
Oaxaca.
right, Oaxaca. Sorry, I forgot. I didn't remember exactly where it was, which is good
Love it. The
because
California governor said not to travel, so Danny took that and went to Oaxaca.
Danny, well, he's bringing that Chernobyl resistance with him.
I'm telling you, like that's he was breastfed, you know, chemicals from Chernobyl. He's fine.
Oh God, God, God help us all.
Well, you
And
know Hassan got COVID, who we had on.
no.
Hassan and Nick, our other Nick. Hassan got it and then gave it to Nick. They're both fine, though.
All right. Well, anyway, hope everybody out there is doing well. Hope everybody's being safe, keeping it locked up, keeping masks on. And I don't know. I don't know about all you guys, but I'm excited for Wednesday. Hopefully that is all cool.
Well, I wouldn't bet on it, but let's hope so.
Something's gonna happen.
Oh man, a Chevitz. Yeah, I
I
know.
mean, when you watch people being marched in there, it's hard to have faith that they're all of a sudden going to flip it up and protect the place. But whatever, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go.
Oh, cool.
All right.
The ghost of Charlie.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we get started?
Yeah.
All right.
He's just like, shut up, Mike.
Welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Keith.
What's up? I'm Russian Danny.
I'm Mike.
And we have Ann with us today.
I'm Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ann.
Are you guys all sober?
No.
No.
I am.
What is so
I am.
I know you. So wait, can I what is how did you guys start this? I don't really know anything.
Mike and I have worked together and been friends for a long time.
Okay.
Charlie works with Mike. I know Danny the
Yeah.
same way I know you from AA.
Okay. I didn't know if this was like a sober group or like a we just like to talk about doing PCP or like, I don't really know.
We're not a sober group, like in that a pure sense, like I'm not sober, you know, and I although I'm having tea right now, but I smoke pot and I having some tea. It's so sad. I'm having the weakest drink ever. I'm having tea with an ice cube in it because it was too hot. This is what we've gotten down to. I've never been more sober than I have been in this lockdown, and it's really getting.
Are you off the booze, Mike?
No, I'm just like, I'm not off the booze, but I'm definitely smoking more pot than anything else because drinking alone is a fucking bore.
Yeah.
I feel weird because we haven't recorded one in like fucking, it's been like, you know, 2 months or something. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been a damn long time.
I'm not nervous because I've heard Ann talk before. So
wait, you've heard me talk like on a podcast or like in one of those things?
One of those things.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I'm not secret about it, by the way.
Oh, I'm going to say one of those things.
I was like,
what do you mean, a restroom? What? Oh, yeah.
What I mean to say is I'm not anonymous.
No, I'm not either. I don't give a shit.
I don't know.
Tell us how you started partying, Ann, what it did for you.
I actually started partying when I was 10.
Jesus.
Wow. And I was like, so I grew up in Portland, and Portland's such a weird place. I mean, it's not the same anymore, but it's kind of like everything's the culture around the way we talk about it is so different.
Yeah.
But because it was like this safe haven, you know, it was like everyone just walks around together and peace and love and like trees and like whatever. Like it was just very that. And I grew up like kind of on the edge of the forest. So it was very like an outdoorsy, artsy, and like gay community. It was like, that was kind of how I was raised. And so it was just like all the neighbor kids hung out together, but like the way we hung out was like in the woods.
Yeah.
Or like on, like outside, like we weren't playing video games or like things like that. Like we were outside. And my friend had an older brother, and he was a drug dealer, and we were over there one day. It was like a group of the neighborhood kids. We were just like hanging out and we drank, and his dad actually was a gynecologist, and we spent most of the time chasing each other around with a speculum, which is one of those things that you put inside the pussy to like put it up bigger. And we were like, it looks like a duck bill.
What kind of Cronenberg fucking camp were you at? Jesus.
Oh my
like
God.
We were 10. You know what I mean? Like, what do 10-year-olds do? Like, sure. We didn't know what that was.
Yeah, they get a speculum out and chase each other around with it, apparently.
And like I remember like I went into his brother's, I think we were playing like hide and seek or something. And everyone else hated it. Like they were all like, this is nasty. And I was like, this feels fun. Me like
yeah.
I don't care what it tastes like. I was like, this is fun. And I remember I went into the brother's room to hide, and he's had a box of Altoids on the side of his bed, and I was like, I love Altoids. And I just like opened it up, and of course I knocked the whole thing over because I'm drunk. And like the kid whose house it was like came in because he like heard me, and he was like, what are you doing? Like, that's my brother's stuff. And I was like, they're Altoids. And he's like, no, they're not. And I was like, oh, these are drugs. And, you know, it really was history from there. it just really went off from there for me.
What were they? No. Like Altoids with acid or something? Or what
I have
like?
No idea what they were. I was 10 years old. Yeah. I don't know if he told me what they were or anything, but I sure don't remember.
Dude, I'd love to know how many Altoid tins have been repurposed. Like, that was the tweaker's dream when that candy came out.
Oh, dude.
It's like grandma's. Hey, it's like grandma's with the little shortbread cookie box. Yeah. You know, it's
totally, tweaker. Totally.
Shortbread cookie box.
That was totally it. Like, what a cute and quaint way for me to put some methamphetamine in a small cut up straw.
And it was weirdly secure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they would only up good.
I don't know why it sealed so well, but it was like oddly good at what it did.
Hey, you throw a few mints in there and you'd be all right.
I think that just methamphetamine in general, you like to have different containers. You know what I mean? I did.
Yeah. My friend who is sober, who's an old tweaker, she has this tiny toolkit.
Yeah.
It's like the tiniest screwdrivers, like the tiniest little spoon, like the tiniest, like all these things. And she uses them now for her plants, which is like... which is like the most lesbian thing in the whole world.
Totally.
Also a tweaker, which is like the best part about it. She's like, if I'd had this toolkit when I was tweaking, like this would have been the best thing I've ever done.
Because that was before the internet and shit. It was so exciting to find something, like a little spoon or something. You're like, fuck, what? It was wild to find things like that.
I learned how corrosive crystal meth was because I had bought, remember Spencer Gifts?
Yeah.
Remember that? I had bought a bullet from Spencer Gifts. I don't even know where the hell I had gotten this. Must have been back east. And I had had an old Coke bullet, you know, those things where you're like, and you flip it and you slip it. And I'd wound up putting meth in that, like in the early 90s or whatever. And that shit corroded it so much faster than Coke never did. And I was like, ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you remember, the razor blades would get rusty.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yes.
Chop the shit up. But the best one is, I remember I walked into this house, this dude, Kurt, I shouldn't have said his last name. But anyway, he had a Harley in his living room. And like there was a shotgun on the wall as well. And somebody had buffed all the bluing off of the shotgun, to make it like shiny,
Mm-hmm.
But they were cooking speed in there. And I was there like 2 days later, literally that quick in 2 days. And the shotgun, the barrel of the shotgun was corroded. And so was the chrome. Any chrome on the motorcycle had like, a very light rust on it.
Oh, wow.
Like you couldn't quite see it, but you could feel it. Because the chemicals and shit. That shit's gnarly.
Fuck.
What's the longest you've ever stayed awake, Ann?
Not super long. I wasn't a tweaker.
Oh, nice. What'd you like to do?
Well, I like to do a bit of everything, honestly. I definitely was a big drinker at first, and then I started physically suffering the consequences of drinking. So then I started, especially when you're that young, it's really hard not to like suffer.
Yeah.
And then I got super into benzos and shit and a lot of Adderall because it's easy to get when you're in high school. Then I started dealing drugs, and that's when I started getting into other stuff. I was a heroin addict, and I didn't know for probably a year.
Wait, didn't the Adderall keep you up all night, though?
Oh, yeah, but I was also so dependent on benzos that I was because I would be like, I'm supposed to be asleep right now. And so I would like take like a bottle of benzos, and then I would drink like a bottle of NyQuil, and then I'd smoke like a shit ton of weed, and I'd be like,
"Was this in high school?"
No, this was right. This was right after high school. I got sober when I was 21, so I only had 3 years out, before like I had to pull it together,
What?
So, yeah.
What kind of benzos were your phase? Like Valium, Xanax?
Oh, no. I liked tranquilizers.
Oh, the real full benzos.
Real benzos, not fucking Xanax. You know what I mean? Like real shit. Yeah, I'll be right like back. The shit that they give the crazy people.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They give housewives.
What, that like Buse Bar and shit like that?
No, I take Buse Bar now. That's not a benzo.
What is that? Well, okay.
That just looks like a benzo.
It looks like a baby Xanax.
Yeah.
And it's not.
I had a gal friend who was on the Buse Bar.
Yeah, it's Buse Bar is like essentially like a chill anti-anxiety that like chemically affects the way your brain functions like on a daily basis rather than
more like a Prozac-y type of thing.
Yeah, it's like an antidepressant. Like Xanax literally is like for emergency situations. Like you're not supposed to take Xanax every day.
No, you're not.
I was like Lorazepam. Oh. I was. I can't even remember all their names now.
That diazepam.
A lot of Pam.
Yeah, a lot of Zepams.
Yeah.
The Valium, the double V is a wonderful combination.
Oh, I mean, I loved Valium.
Valium and vodka, or Valium and champagne.
I had this psychiatrist guy who I found because he was also like a like professor at like this really good college. And he was like, would tell me about like taking acid with his kids on the weekends. And so I learned really quickly that I could get whatever I wanted from him. I'd be like, yo, my friend told me that Klonopin works really well for her. Can I try it? And he'd be like, sure. And I'd be like, great. And he'd still prescribe me what he was already prescribing me.
Wow.
This is before, though, like this was before they started having like systems at pharmacies that were like tracking your med use.
The good old, AKA the good old days.
I gotta say, the prescription thing right now, I mean, obviously it's COVID, so no one's gonna be in a room that doesn't, you know, no one wants to be in a room with anyone they don't have to be. But like, you could get doctors to set like that.
Anything.
And just write scripts like, oh, hey, what are you, a gaffer? You got a lot of back pain? Boom, there you go. Hey, da 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 da. It's like, okay, we're here to see the director. You know, we're gonna bring him some anxiety medication. And by that, we mean Valium, Xanax, Klonopin. What's the other one? Ativan.
Oh, yeah. Ativan's good.
Ativan's good because it's longer. What is it? A longer shelf life or a shorter? Shorter shelf life. A shorter.
Half life.
Not shelf life. Half life. Half life.
Well, real drug addicts don't have to worry about shelf life.
Yeah, no, half life. So it's like it clears your system faster. I remember one of these set doctors telling me that once. He's like, no, this is the way to go. I was like, okay, awesome.
I had a doctor at one point, and it was a Suboxone doctor, and it was like one of the first times I tried to get sober, and someone's like, oh, like I was a methadone guy, and they were like, oh, you should get on Suboxone, it's better. And I went to this doctor, and he was like, okay, yeah, here's a 30-day script, and he was like, what else, like, you know, like, what else, like, he's like, oh, you're going to have trouble sleeping at first, so, like, here's Somas, and he goes, oh, well, like, and then you're probably going to have some anxiety, so here's Klonopin. And then, like, he just, like, started going down the list, and, like, I literally left there with, like, and this is, like, my first time walking in. I left with a script for Suboxone, for Klonopin 2 mg, for Somas, for Adderall, and then the crazy one, what the craziest one is, for some reason, he gave me a script for what the fuck's it called? For the codeine cough syrup, for lean.
Jesus.
But the fucked up part about that is if you take lean on Suboxone,
that'll
you go
kill
into
you.
Horrible withdrawals. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this motherfucker still practicing medicine. I know somebody that just went to like, that was like, oh yeah, I went to, I'm not going to put the guy's name on blast.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
But I had to Dr. Bleep to get like, you know, I was like, how is this fool still prescribing stuff? It's fucking... And he works at like a very prominent like medical center. This is
at
like,
the idea of, oh my God.
Yeah.
If you take that lean and then you mix it with something like a Klonopin, that absolutely will repress your fucking respiratory system.
Well, that's how these rappers die. Are dying. Yeah.
That's like how rappers die, literally.
Yeah.
I don't know how I didn't die because I used to buy lean by the fucking like jug. We used to get these like jugs of them.
Ooh. And I never had that.
Oh, it was tight. Mm. It was sick.
Really?
Oh,
what's it like? I'm sorry.
Oh, you can't drink the whole thing at once. Right. You know, I mean, we drank it and used it normally and then like put on top of that, like the benzos and the booze and blah, blah, blah. But I remember we got stuck at my mom's house one Christmas and it was snowing. And we would go sledding, and there is nothing like sledding on lean. I remember my former stepbrother was sledding, and he fucking passed out going down the hill. So like, instead of stopping himself before he crashed into something, he just like fucking slammed into a fucking mailbox. It was so fucking funny.
No way. Have you ever been so fucked up you hooked up with someone you wouldn't have hooked up with?
Is that a real question? Of course.
Yeah.
I've done it sober.
What?
I've done it sober.
Give us a story, Anne.
What? Oh, sober or drunk?
Either
Let's
one.
Do one of each. One of each.
Yeah.
The best part is that when you get sober as young as I did or younger, you haven't made a lot of mistakes yet. So it's right. Like you get to be newly sober, no shame, no inhibitions. You have like nothing for going for yourself because you're like a 21-year-old loser who had to go to rehab already. You know, it's like, I'm like, great. Like I have nothing to offer to society. And like, I've already fucked my brain up. So like I'm fucked. Anyways, drunk. Yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of sad, honestly. Like, it's way sadder when you're drunk or, like, fucked up because it's like, I needed a ride home. And so I, like, fucked somebody so that they would, like, give you a ride.
Where was that happening? Where were rides home? How many fucking rides home I've given? like a peck on the cheek or even just a door slam. Hey, so I'm... all right, have a good night.
You're probably a better person than the people I was with.
Probably not.
People with better morals than me.
I guess.
I mean, like, I'm the kind of girl who...
Or
like,
less fun people, maybe. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't have much to say for, like, who I was as a human because it wasn't great. I mean, I used to, like, professionally fuck dudes who had girlfriends so I could prove something to the girlfriend. Like, like, your boyfriend's a piece of shit. Like, he fucked me.
Yeah.
Wow.
No way.
Strong move.
Oh,
ninja.
I should do it. Oh. But then the sad part, though, like, that's why it's sad. Because the sad part is that I thought they would choose me and they never did.
Oh, right.
You know, like, that's the demoralizing part.
Yeah. But you've done it sober, too, huh?
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah, I used to go pick up drunk guys at bars because I was desperate. I was like so desperate to like have sex with anything that moved and like feel different. I don't know. It's like we all know the thing. When people get sober, they would do other things instead, you know?
Yeah, of course.
But for me, it was like sex. I was like, I'm 21. I'm still pretty hot. Like, I can fuck all these like insane dudes who just got out of prison in AA, which I did. And then I can also fuck like all these dudes that are really hot at bars who are like kind of drunk and don't care that I'm sober.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of that.
Oh, nice.
I'm trying to think. There was this one dude. I was planning on telling this story because I was trying to think of all the most fucked up things I've done sober. And there are so many things I've done. But one of my favorites is that. So when I got sober, I was 21. The first dude I met who was really nice to me, he was probably like 350 pounds, 6'1". He was from Savannah, Georgia, had been in and out of prison his whole life. He was 35 and his oldest child was the same age as me. So that means he had his first child when he was 14 with a woman who was 35.
Wow.
No way.
I swear to God.
Wow.
And his name, that what everyone called him, he was a part of this group of dudes who were all fucking douche knobs, like just fucking the biggest douchebags you've ever met. And I fucked every single one of them. Yeah. And like, they called him Jesus. They called him Jesus because he had long hair. I was like, I've seen a lot of different versions of Jesus, but none of them were like almost like up on 400 pounds, you know?
Big Jesus.
Yeah, it was Big Jesus, and he had a mic. Have you ever seen a micro penis before?
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Hotel. I've seen pics.
Usually at around 6 o'clock in the morning, and then again around 3 p.m.
Well, he
and only more if I. It's an absolute necessity.
Is it literally like it's like a pinky? No, yeah, right?
It's a little.
So it's
pinky.
Thicker than a pinky. It's thicker than a pinky. I mean, I would say it's typically the thickness of a average sized dick, uh-huh. But the shortness is the key ingredient that makes it so much. It's like essentially less, maybe an inch off the body. And imagine Jesus a 400 Christ. Pound dude who's that, like, who's got that small of a penis. You have to search for it. You know, like, there's, you gotta pulled up and over, you know, like, it was a lot. And I didn't feel it. Like, I didn't feel anything. He'd be like, you know, I mean, you guys are dudes, you know,
yeah.
You're like, put it in. You're like, does it feel good? And yeah. It's like, I'm like, I can't feel it. You know? I don't know if it, no, it doesn't.
Don't ask questions, by the way, that you don't want an answer to. I never ask that question.
Oh yeah. No, don't ask. I wasn't.
Does it feel good? Like you're setting yourself up for failure. No, it doesn't feel great. Not really.
Listen, dudes have always asked. They've got the dumbest questions. They're like, does this taste good? I was like, no, you smell like a fucking jock strap. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's why I'm gay now. But anyways, that's not even the story I was going to tell you. I just like, it starts with him.
Okay.
He also has 9 illegitimate children, like all over the United States. So it means it works. And someone let him have full blown penetration with them.
Is he sober? No.
Well, he was. I was a newcomer. I had like 70 days. I got a rehab when I had like 70 days, and he had like a year. And he was sober for almost 2 years, and now I have no idea. We broke up because he hit me. I brought him to a fucking preseason Blazers game, and he fucking hit me. And I broke up with him, obviously, because I like zero tolerance. I'm not that bitch. And and then I just started dating his best friend, Dog Bite, who my story's really about.
Let's go.
Dog Bite was like the same amount of sober as him. He was way more attractive. He's from Vallejo, and he loved to talk about it. He loved to talk about being from Vallejo. And I'm from a girl from Portland. I don't know even what the fuck that is, you know? So, but it sounded hot. And difference between LA and Portland is Portland actually cares about homeless people a little bit more and like cares about helping people get off the streets and like sober. So everyone in early recovery lives in some sort of sectioned housing or state funded housing. Like everybody does. Except I didn't, cause my family was rich. I don't know how to say it. Anyways. So Dog Bite. So he was best friends with Jesus. And we weren't dating. We just fucked on and off for a long time. And he had a kid, and I was like, I like kids. So I was like super tight with his little kid who he had full custody of because his ex was a tweaker. And he was a tweaker, but he was sober. And long story short, I still wanted to fuck him when he was out because I liked fucking dudes that were on a relapse because I thought I could save them.
Oh, right.
And, which is something I did a lot of. And he was living in his sister's. Well, he said he was living behind his sister's house. So I just took that as like, I don't know, like a back house or I don't know. I didn't know what it meant. Turns out he was living in like a 4x4 shed in his sister's backyard. And the only thing that was in there was like, I don't know if it was, you could call it a mattress, but it was something. And there was like a shelf on the wall that had a lamp. That was the lamp from A Christmas Story, you know, like the leg.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the fishnet.
Yeah.
And like an 8-week-old kitten. And that's like what the fuck he had in there. And I remember we had sex in there. And then I was like really sketched out and I was like not feeling great about it. And he was like, I'll be back. And I was like, okay, sure. And he was like living in an area that's like not the area that like I should be in. And like as a sober young woman, like I shouldn't have been there. And all of a sudden I hear him and some other dude screaming in Russian. And they're like, just screaming in the middle of the street in Russian. And I'm like in this shed with an 8-week-old kitten naked, like crying. And I like walk out and he's smoking meth. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm just talking to my dude over here. And I can't even tell you how quickly I got dressed, took that kitten and left. And
I'm glad you did.
I think I had probably 2 years sober when that happened.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, I'm one of the sick ones.
Yeah. But and you got sober at 21.
Yeah.
20. Wow.
A month and a half after my 21st birthday.
Wow.
That's a short run.
Well, it was like 11 years.
Oh Jesus!
I started when I was 10. It wasn't that short of a run. I mean, it just.
No, I guess not. No, no. Yeah, right. Jeez.
I mean, I was a daily drinker by 13. If I didn't drink every single day by the time I was 13, I would go into DTs.
Overachievers.
Yeah. I think I was just one of the really miserable ones. Like I was just like, so like most kids at that point, if they were that unhappy, were like dead, you know?
Yeah.
I just like wasn't going to do it.
Yeah. Thank God.
Oh, it's crazy because first of all, for our listeners that don't know what Vallejo is, their claim to fame is it was the place where the pit bull mauled the baby like 20 years ago. And pit bulls are no longer allowed to. You can't. If you bring a pit bull into Vallejo, they put the pit bull down.
No
That's
way.
So funny because the reason his name is Dog Bite is because he's afraid of dogs.
No way.
That's amazing.
That's so good.
That's so good. And he's gay now, and so am I.
Wow.
He's gay too.
Yeah, he's got like 3 kids too. It's crazy.
Is he sober again?
I don't think so.
He's in Portland though, right? Not here.
Yeah.
Keith's like, I know a dog bite. Didn't know that fool was gay. But
no.
Oh man.
Nobody knew except for me, and then everyone knew.
Have you ever smoked PCP?
Not on purpose.
That's most people's story. Can we hear about it?
Yeah, sure. So this one night, there's this venue in Portland called the Roseland, which is just like a fucking shitty fucking venue, but it's big. It's where like underground rappers go, or like people on their first big tour. Like they had a single on the radio and now they're on their first tour.
Right.
And it's nasty. Anyway, so my friends and I was friends with a lot of big hippies who like were from Southern Oregon, which is where like the psychedelics and like the weed is at, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of like Northern California, but in Oregon, they're actually hippies, you know?
What and, is Southern Oregon like Roseville, like that?
What you mean or, Roseburg?
Roseburg, I mean, yeah.
No, this is like Medford, Grants Pass.
Grants Pass. Okay. Oh, yeah.
This is Grants Pass. Like, Grants Pass is like any town surrounding Grants Pass is like everyone there is a professional grower. Like, they've been doing it for 40 years before. Like, they were getting away with it before it was like even close to legal. You know, these are the original deadheads. These are the guys who are like besties with Jerry. Like, these are like that's who lives in Southern Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, word.
And tweakers. There's a few tweakers there too.
Well, they all but most of them live in Medford, aka Methford.
A few white supremacists up there as well.
I mean, Oregon is like, the capital right now. I mean, it was Idaho, but ever since that you're not allowed to register as a KKK member anymore, now you register as a Aryan Nation member. And it was like a way to like kind of avoid the government, but you can't really avoid the government when you're a white supremacist, even though the government is white. You know what I mean? Anyways.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people get that impression of like the liberal Oregon because they've been to Portland, you know.
Well, that's the same
as sat around in the lobby of Wyden and Kennedy. Yeah. But like at the end of the day, like that town is hairy, or Oregon.
California and Oregon are like the same thing, right? Where the majority of the population is made up by one major city that's a liberal city, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the rest of the state, though, I mean, Oregon is a fucking 50-50 state. And so yeah. California is too, essentially, you know? So it's like,
we've been blue a long time, but yeah.
I mean, we've been blue a long time too, but it's like one of those things where it's like, you, there's always a chance, you know?
It gets hairy. No, for sure.
I mean, go
to Orange County tonight and just see what you got there.
Yeah, like, for real.
Like a Trump, right? I mean, it would be like you would be on Mars, you know? I mean,
think about every single cult that was started in Oregon. It's insane.
Yeah. Is it?
That's why I
Kevin Gates, the Rajneesh.
Dude.
Fucking yeah, like all sorts of crazy.
The Rajneesh.
My mom went and saw them.
No way.
Yeah, like in '78, I think, maybe somewhere between '78 and '83 when she first moved to Oregon. She went there to her and her buddies were like, we should go check this guy out.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they went and she like was like there exploring their little like town they created. And she was like there, and all of a sudden you see like the Bentleys, the Rolls Royces driving down the dirt road with like huge machine guns and like AKs, and like that's when my mom was like, I think we should leave.
You got to give it, I mean, as nuts as they were, like sick style. Just like full on, like just Rajneesh meets Gaddafi style, like just like red Bentley convertibles and just machine gun turrets. Yeah. So dope.
They
kind of cool. Yeah.
It's kind of I'm just like, come on.
So yeah, I PCP.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was friends with a lot of like deep hippies, and we were going to this show called Spongle, some like band. I know.
Come on.
Can you explain what Spongle is?
Yeah.
Oh man, so Spongle's like how do you even explain? So it's like a noise jam band, basically. Like I can't explain it any other way, you know. And they're
like
all
psychedelic jam band.
Okay. Yeah.
There's but like Spongle, Cubans, yeah, Cubenses, like in that same category. Yeah, it's so weird.
So we were all going to a Spongle concert. And at this point, I was like kind of afraid of psychedelics still. I was like, I'm so mentally ill. Like there's no way I should be taking psychedelics. Because I like knew this chick who took a bunch of mushrooms and then killed herself in the middle of the forest. And I was like, that's me.
Fuck,
like,
really?
That's exactly what I'm going to do.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's like what happens to mentally ill people who do psychedelics.
Yeah.
It's like... Ooh. It's not a good combination.
Yeah.
And I just knew, I was like thinking about that girl and I was like, that's what I would do. Like, I already know some crazy shit like that would happen to me. Anyways, so all my friends took acid and most of them, it was their first time. I was like, I'm just going to stick to weed. Like, don't mind me. I think I took like Molly or something too. I was like, I'm just going to like chill. And then this dude was like passed me a fucking joint. He's like, you want to hit this? I was like, hell yeah. And I was like, took a hit. And then I took another hit and I was like, that tasted weird. And he was like, yeah, duh. I was like, why? I was like, isn't that just a joint? He's like, yeah, with some angel in it. And I was like, some what? And I was like, all right, well, I guess I'm along for the fucking ride. So yeah, I that was the first time I did PCP. I had a great time.
Oh, you did. You're like Danny. I hate it.
Oh, I had a great second time I did it. Was at the same venue, a different show. It was this guy named Andre Nicotina. I don't even want to talk about
it. Dude, Andre. I know Andre Nicotina.
Same vibe, same like exact vibe. Like hit some joint. I think I would have learned my lesson, but I didn't.
Oh, that's amazing. And you liked it though. You enjoyed it.
What I remember, I don't remember most of it. I mean, there's like, I think there was like a 45-minute period that I remember, and then everything after that is, but apparently I was a good time. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. I was gripped with the fear almost immediately and just vomiting out a window within a half an hour.
That sounds great to me. Shit.
Yeah, that's basically how that went. I'm lucky I didn't go out that fucking window, but I did. I vomited right out onto the roof of the Bounty, of the HMS Bounty.
The HMS Bounty.
Oh, gee. You love that place.
I used to love, I lived in that building and they had, I was on the fourth floor, but I was in the back facing the little kidney shaped pool they had. And for whatever reason, I was in the corner. I don't know which section. It would take too long for me to figure it out. But I was in this corner where I was like, if you went out my window, you wouldn't go down four stories. You go down like two stories and you'd be, or three, and you'd be on the back roof of the Bounty where the kitchen was. Like, so it was, you know, it was a full story high of, you know, ground level high of a kitchen. So I remember I pushed my screen, my window screen out, and it landed onto the roof of the Bounty. And I was like, oh God, I hope no one sees this. And I just vomited out there for about a while. And then the next day I went down there and I remember talking to Tony, who was the chef. And I was like, you may want to send someone up under that roof with a mop. I don't know who's up there. I don't know who you guys do to clean, but I booted pretty hard. He was like, don't worry about it, Mikey. I was like, cool.
That's the best part about living in Oregon is everything gets washed away.
Yeah.
Of it gets washed away. All the rain, everything just like is gone the next day. It's so good. And like, don't mind the vomit your friend left on your car. Like, it's gone too.
Ah, that's beautiful. God's cleansing fluids.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
What's the most STDs you've had at one time?
You know, the only thing I've ever had was crabs and scabies. That's the only ones I've ever had. Yeah.
Is scabies a fucking STD?
I think so. Right? Well, it's like crabs kind of, I think.
Yeah, but I think you can get scabies from like...
I didn't get scabies from fucking. I'll tell you that.
You can get scabies from walking like barefoot on Hollywood Boulevard, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It might as well be a fucking STD, you know?
What about you?
You were wearing American Apparel like the whole time when you were doing it.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, no shit.
One of my favorite things. I don't know what I thought you looked like, Danny, when you were loaded, but it was not an American Apparel employee. Like, that is not what I imagined.
Wait, did you work there, Danny?
No.
But you looked like you did. Yeah.
But I used to boost a lot from there.
I'm sure.
I don't. Maybe Ann hasn't seen it. He used to run like mesh tank tops and shit.
But that's
he was on some wild tweaker shit.
That's what that is. It was like the
I guess you're right. Yeah,
the tank top and the really tight biker shorts that were denims. Like, you can't tell if it's cotton or denim. But yeah, it's, they were women's jeans, so they were so stretchy. I already know. Like, I don't even know, but I know that's what you
were. You a plunging V-neck man?
Oh, you know.
He was wearing plunging
V-neck. Oh, I was. I loved it. Love the deep V. Deep V.
The deep V.
He would wear headbands that were shoelaces. Purple ones, too.
I always was envious of the guys who could wear the deep V. The deep V, I would look like I was wearing like a carpet on my chest, and just I could never pull it off.
But this was also like in 2009 when it was like normal to listen to indie rock and like party, yeah, like drink PBR for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss that. I actually have never had an STD, which is fucking bananas, which is like completely, I don't know how, I don't know why. I also miss, like, I didn't get fucking Hep C and I've shared needles with somebody that has Hep C. And I didn't get HIV and I shared needles with somebody that was HIV positive.
Oh, God.
When I shared a syringe with them.
Fucking hell.
Which is why I volunteer at the needle exchange for the last 4.5 years.
Right.
I'm like, I need to give back. Something fucking kept me safe. And the least I could do is get some clean syringes out into the world. You know?
Wait, are you fucking, come on, Danny, I've already told you what the problem is. That Chernobyl shit is in the water. Look,
that Chernobyl. I like how you called it that Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl shit. Danny's mom was drinking water tainted with that shit, which she breastfed to him. Which is
are
the
you
reason
serious, dude?
Yes, that's why
you really share a needle, you know, with someone who is HIV positive.
I have a friend who did that.
I didn't know the motherfucker was HIV.
No, I know. No, I know. Yeah. But I mean, but you did. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I have never had an STD either.
What the fuck?
But only.
Are you
afraid? Let's just say this. I don't. I am. Yeah. Last time I checked. But I came. I have come close. Not in that way, but yeah, I have slept with people who had STDs and somehow did not get those STDs. I slept with someone who had the herp and I never got the herp.
Herp is hard to get.
Yeah.
I didn't know what the deal was. That's not true. I knew that she had herpes and I didn't care. And I went in for the win. Such a pretty gal. And you know, fortunately, I got lucky. I don't know. I guess it's not that easy to get. But other than that, no, I didn't. I thought I had the drip once when I was.
Hey, is that Chernobyl?
Yep.
What's that?
Are you Russian too?
Me?
No,
Italian Irish. But I had something that I thought was a thing once. And I did go to talk about it with someone and they were like, no, you have a urinary tract infection. Stop playing with your penis. And I said, okay, I will stop doing that.
Damn.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time that I was very sure that I had STD?
No.
Mm-mm.
Oh man. All right. So when, cause I worked in medical cannabis industry for a while. When there was like a few dispensaries in LA and it was like before like the whole like taking dabs thing was like popular, like they were like when it was first coming out.
Damn, I feel like I missed out on dabbing.
You did. You definitely did, but whatever, you're not missing much.
I never even got a Four Loko. Sorry, keep going.
I never got a Four Loko either, and I've only been sober for 5 years. You drank Sparks though, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So whatever. So
and
you're good.
I remember Juice.
Oh yeah.
J O O. Yeah.
Oh yes.
What Zoop. Is Sparks? I'm sorry.
It's malt liquor.
Energy drink.
It's an energy drink malt liquor. It's like a Four Loko, but like people's hearts were exploding from drinking them, so they like had to outlaw them.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah. They were so.
Is Four
Loko's
crazy. Outlawed?
No, Four Loko.
Well, no, they had to change the formula.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sparks got outlawed because kids were chugging like 3-4 of them and fucking just going into full tachycardia.
That never happened to me. Danny was telling a story.
Sorry.
So one night I was probably dressed in my finest American Apparel outfit out in CineSpace.
Plunging feet.
It was some indie rock or like blog house fucking techno whatever DJ spinning. I came home, I ate some Molly that night and I came home and I remember like when I was tripping, I felt that there was something in it. Like it was cut with some kind of opiate, you know, cause I'd already done opiates at the time, but I was like trying to not do heroin. Mm. And I was like, it was one of those where like, I started like nodding out at the club and I somehow made it home and I was like, oh, I'm just going to take a bong grip and I'll be good. And I had this fucking thing, which was like, it was like a ceramic heating element. So basically it was like a thing you would plug into the wall and had a ceramic piece on the end of it. And I would like take my bong grips with it so I wouldn't have to use a lighter because there's carcinogens in the fucking butane or whatever, you know, just that dumb shit. And so I go and I take a hit of the thing. I'm sitting, I had this like whatever, this like I had a chair that I was sitting in, and I took a hit, and I kind of remember like waking up like in the chair and like being like, fuck, this is weird. And my bong like fell over, you know, and I was like, I better get into bed. This is like bad, you know? And I wake up, and the next morning I go to take a shower. And as I'm taking a shower, you know, whatever, I got like a, I got a loofah and I'm washing myself down, and I get down to the shaft of my penis. And as I go to scrub it, there is something on it that I've never seen before that is, you know, that's basically like, it doesn't look good, you know? And I like, I remember grabbing onto the wall and being like, oh my God. And like, you know, like having a flashback of everybody that I had like slutted out with over the last year, and like people like use a rubber, and I'm like, fuck that, I don't believe, you know, just all that shit. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to get to a doctor. And I like got out of the shower and I sat down, and I'm like, fuck, like what? And it was like something like, you know, like I'd seen enough stuff online and I'd never seen anything quite like this. Like it didn't look, but it didn't look good, you know? And I was like, fuck, this is bad. Like this is bad. And I'm like, kind of like trying to like piece together what happened with the night. And I look at, and I go to like, whatever, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I go to put on the boxers that I wore the night before, 'cause that's where I was at. Like I didn't have, you know, I had like a few pairs of boxers and these were clean enough, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I put the boxers on, I look and I see that in these boxers, right where my junk would be, there's a burn. And then I go look at my pants, and then my pants, at the top of the pants, there's a burn. So what happened was, is when I nodded out, I had the ceramic heating element thing in my
hand,
and I fell asleep, and it almost, I mean, it could have like lightsabered through my fucking dick.
Oh, you know? You must have been so relieved though.
I mean, somewhat relieved. Imagine telling your girlfriend like, hey, so we're not going to be fucking for a little while because I almost burned my dick off with a fucking stupid fucking weed ceramic thing last night, you know, with whatever it was called. Yeah.
It beats fucking, it would beat having, you having to explain how you got an STD when you weren't.
Yeah, on that's yeah, true.
Like, also, yeah, fucking.
Like, how was it possible that Molly made you fucking nod out? Like, yeah. With like,
weird, well, no, it was like ecstasy. It was like a weird ecstasy pill, no. You know?
I was like, there's no way. Yeah. I have done a, I used to do 4 grams a day for 3 years and I was fine.
Wow.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Literally.
Have you ever had a bad, have you ever had a bad trip?
On what?
On anything. Any hallucinogenics or anything?
I remember my last like year of getting loaded, I lived in this really beautiful home that was like falling apart. Because everything's like 200 years old in Portland. But like usually if it's not like restored, it's literally falling apart. So yeah. I moved in with these like five guys who were best friends from like high school and whatever and college. And they were all like moved to Portland to like be degenerates essentially, but they all like didn't do drugs or really or anything. Like they weren't crazy. And then I moved in and I was a drug dealer, and then like it became a crack house. And
really?
Oh yeah. Quick, real quick. But like I was the one smoking crack. Like yeah. Nobody else was. Like they were all doing a lot of drugs, but it was like different. We had like a, we had house shows. Like that was such a thing in 2009, like house shows. And and so fuck, wait, what was I saying?
Oh, the house. You moved into the old house with the bad five
trip.
Kids.
Oh, bad trip. Thanks. Yeah. See, that's what happens when you do 4 grams of Molly for 3 years. Yeah, so I remember I had like started before I moved in, I was sleeping with this guy who lived there. And then I'm essentially like coerced him into breaking up with his girlfriend and like being with me when I moved in. But he was like kind of a good boy and I was not a good girl. And I remember he wanted to take acid. And so we all like took acid, and then he was like, well, I want to like try to like hippie flip, which is like when you take Molly, I think, with it. And
it's mushrooms, and hippie flip is mushrooms and Molly or ecstasy.
Yeah, so we didn't do the mushrooms part, but we did Molly. And I was fine. I mean, I was like so heavily addicted at that point that like nothing was gonna fuck with me, you know? And then my boyfriend, he like had never done anything like that. And he lost his mind. He truly, I don't know like how else to explain it, but he lost his mind. And it was really scary. And I was fucked up. I was like high too. So it was like one of those things where it's like, I had to like manage what was happening to me. Because like a lot of situations you can kind of sober yourself up, but like acid is one of those things where you can't really just like sober yourself up, you know, like it doesn't work like that. Like cocaine and like drinking, you know, it's just like, ugh. So yeah, it was really fucked up. We like thought the neighbors were killing babies, but really it was like some cats in the street. And like, we were like hiding under a couch for a long time. I like spent a long time like staring. I ended up doing ketamine at some point in the night and like ended up like staring at a wall in our basement that we had like painted with like black light ink and like whatever, and like listening to probably a fucking spangle or something, you know.
I've never heard of a spangle.
Listen, you don't need to. You're doing without it.
Hey, we record the next episode. Keith's got a fucking Spangle shirt on. And Blackie's got a poster. Right. Black
light. Yeah. Fucking hat on sideways. Yeah.
He's all giving himself a light show and shit.
Is that what they're doing with their hands when they're dancing and shit?
Yes, well, dude.
I did that weird dancing and shit. That's what they're doing?
Yeah, they've got. What do you think they're fucking doing?
I thought they were just fucking whack jobs.
Well,
wait, what are they doing?
Yeah, they are.
What are
yes.
they doing with it?
A lot of times they're like holding like light wands.
Oh,
or, like,
yeah, yeah.
You know, they, no, some of the gloves that they wear have like lights on the fingertips.
And they do like little, you know, like you're sitting there tripping, you know, and then they're like in like your face with all the different lights and you're just watching, your fucking eyes are going everywhere, you know.
Okay.
I've gotten light shows fucking sober. I'm not even gonna lie.
Nuh-uh.
I've done a lot of shit sober, and that is one of them. Yeah.
Wait, is it like, you know, like the goth people who are doing that shit like that?
Yes. Yeah. That is exactly what it is.
I honestly had no idea.
Yeah.
Well, you learned something new today, Keith.
That's right. Have you ever seen a ghost, Dan?
I have. Well, I guess I don't know. It's a so when you get sober really young, you are bored. There is so many things that you want to do you probably shouldn't, so you try to find something else to do. So we used to like break into abandoned buildings in the middle of nowhere Oregon that were like haunted, and we'd like go in the we all went to the same meeting at 11 p.m. every night. And then afterwards, we would all get into each other's cars and like caravan. So like there was like probably 10 of us. We caravaned out to this place in the middle of fucking nowhere that was an old hospital or something. And you used to be able to I'm sure you still can, but back in then it was like probably so fake. It's not even like real. It's like insane. It's like these apps where you could like detect like something in the air, like whatever, you know.
word,
this
yeah.
is back like when like the first generation iPhone, you know. So
yeah,
I just remember like I'm there was this is another story of me doing something really stupid where I was like 2 years sober and I had like met this kid in a meeting and he was like 3 days sober and I fucked him in this hospital, but like.
It just sounded funny the way you said it. I fucked him in this hospital.
It's like this abandoned hospital in the middle of nowhere, and it's like pitch dark and disgusting in there, and like there's like broken glass and needles everywhere. But it's like,
dude, that's my 1986 goth nerd fantasy. Are you kidding me? Right?
Dude, it was my fantasy too, because I was like super witchy my whole life, so it was like kind of what I wanted.
Yeah. Get a little Joy Division in the background.
Yeah, it was a very like Nancy from The Craft moment.
cry a little after, you know, just ceremonially.
He did, because I didn't want to do it again. But
poor fella.
I was such a douchebag. But I was also sick and suffering, so whatever. Anyways,
yeah, fuck it.
Moral story is that some weird shit went down in there. I also, like, I don't know. I did this, like, seance once with, like, a group of, like, people I was friends with, and one of the people in our circle, like, was possessed, but I don't know if they were faking it or not, and it, like, I still think about it sometimes.
Fuck, tell us about it.
Yeah, what happened?
They were, like, speaking in tongues, and, like, I don't know, it was really freaky, and, like, it felt really real, and, like, I'm also really gullible, so it's like one of those things where I was like, oh my god, like, this is insane. And so I don't really know if it's real or not, but I'm not against it, yeah.
What freaky things happened in the hospital?
It would be like we would hear things sometimes, and it was empty, like there was nobody in there when we were there, and it was very open, like it was like the only thing left standing was like the cement, right? Which was like kind of like the infrastructure of the building.
Okay, so I'll do that.
We would hear like weird things sometimes, and we would like, I don't really remember that much now that I think about it, but I know creepy stuff happened.
Yeah.
Wish I could remember better, but I have ruined my brain on purpose for a long time.
No, it's still spooky, though.
It's spooky.
Yeah.
What spooky is, right when we started talking, I heard like a creak and like fucking over there somewhere, and I'm like, oh, shit. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, Camille's house is also like on a ledge, yeah, like on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't know. I've done a lot of spooky stuff my whole life, so I can't really remember. I remember, like, my first AIM screen name was Queen O'Devil 666.
Wow.
Dude.
That's
What's the worst decision you've ever made? I know you've got a lot of them, but.
Oh, God. I don't even know. I'll tell you one of my worst decisions I made recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think now. Being straight. No, fuck, I don't even know. During COVID, I was dating someone in the beginning of COVID and like right before COVID, and then I ended up breaking up with her, and then when I moved to LA, I met this girl, and I don't know what it was, and I don't know why I felt that way, but she was like poison. You know when you meet that girl who's just like, you know it's so wrong, and there's nothing you should be having to do with this person, because like, she was-
Yeah, every relationship I've ever had, yep.
She was like 24, she was, oh, come on, I'm sorry. She was 24 and she was like, she was just becoming a party girl. Like everything she did was fun and exciting to her. And I like wanted to be a part of it. I was like, this is fun. Like I love clubbing sober. Like I love partying. Mm-hmm. It's like my favorite thing. It's what I do professionally. Like it's my thing. So I was just like, I loved it. Anyways, we had like fooled around and hung out for a while, like when I first moved to LA, and she was best friends with like the group of people I kind of became friends with, and she wasn't sober, like into the group of people that I kind of like came in through a friend of a friend. Anyways, it was so tough. We had the same birthday. I don't know if you guys do that kind of stuff, but like it was tough. It was just like, it was so sick and suffering. It was so bad. I'd be like, this is horrible. We shouldn't do it. And then we're like making out in the beaches bathroom and like WeHo and like a gay bar in WeHo. And like, we're just like, it's just disgusting. But I was obsessed with her. And, anyways, I like had kind of like dramatically broken up with her by making her, after I made her break up with her girlfriend to be with me. I didn't make her. I just suggested it was a good idea.
Yeah.
And it and that I would make it worth it. And then I broke up with her like 2 weeks later.
Oh,
and, it wasn't my best thing. Anyways, the moral of the story is during COVID, I was dating this other person and like literally I was so lonely 24 hours later that I called this girl back. I called this girl and I was like, hey, da, 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 what's up? And she's like, what do you want? And I was like, I'm in love with you. And she was like, what? I was like, I'm in love with you. She's like, you broke up with me. I was like, I know, I made a mistake. And she's like, okay, well, I'm dating someone else now. And I was like, okay, well, I'll be here when you change your mind again. And she was like, that's really fucked up. You shouldn't say that. And I was like, just because there's a goalie doesn't mean you can't score, bitch. And I haven't heard from her since.
Dude, but that's I did amazing.
My friend, so when after they like canceled the stay at home order that first time, you remember when everyone was like, yeah, we can fucking live again, I fucking went to the Abbey, which is a gay bar.
Yeah.
To go, and or actually it wasn't the Abbey, it was Beaches, but to go meet up with this group of friends. And they were basically like they invited me because they were like, this is your opportunity to apologize to her, to like really make an amends. And then I was like, great, because I was like, it fucked up my ability to be friends with my group of friends, like after I did that, because she was like, I don't ever want to see Anne ever again. And
right.
Which is fair. And so I was like, sure, I'm down, because I was desperate. And so I fucking drove to WeHo and I show up and she's already blasted. All my friends are blasted. It was like not a setup, but it was like drunk people being like, this is a great time to do this. And so because I make bad decisions as a sober person all the time, I was like listening to drunk people tell me what I should do emotionally. And which is like, they don't even know what an amend, they don't even know what amends are. You know what I mean? Like they don't even know what I'm doing.
Right.
So I try to get her to talk to me and she won't talk to me. She's like, why would I talk to you? And I was like, because I have to say I'm sorry. And she was like, which is like, if you know anything about anything, that's not how you go about things.
Right.
So I was just like, and then I sat there like crying at the bar sober at this like gay, like, it's so embarrassing. I was like sitting there and they're like, why are you crying? I was like, because I got tricked by my drunk friends to apologize to their girl who I was really mean to. I mean, this is like 5 months into quarantine. It's like the first time I've left the house in like months. And I'm like, that's a pretty bad decision I made.
That's a pretty bad one. Yeah.
Dude, it's, and you reminded me about like, it's funny because I'm like, I didn't do that much crazy shit in sobriety. You know, like my first year, I flew to Hawaii with dope to stay with my two lesbian friends that were still shooting dope and meth for a week, my first 6 months. And I like stayed with them in a room where they were shooting up. I moved into my friend that was in Hawaii. Then when we got back, she went into treatment and I lived at her house where I got high the last 3 years I got high. And I got a husky pup. I got kicked out of sober living because I got a husky puppy because I wanted a dog and there was no dogs at the sober living. And I would walk my dog. This is in Hollywood. And I would walk my dog down Hollywood Boulevard on Friday and Saturday nights to pick up drunk girls that got into fights with their boyfriends because I had a cute puppy. And let me tell you what, that shit never failed. Not once.
Every time.
And then I would bring them home and then we would do what you do. And then they would wake up and not know who I was. And how they got there. And then there's that shame and guilt that would settle in. And I'd say, oh my God, how'd I do that? And the only thing that helped with that shame and guilt was
do it again.
The next night. Dude, there was one night where, all right,
oh my God.
Man, it's so crazy. Like this shit I've done in sobriety, you know? And like no shame, no regrets about it whatsoever. Shame. I was walking the dog and it was like super late at night. And there was this girl that was like, I mean, I'm fucking crazy. You know, there was like, not only was she, all right, let's just say she was unhoused, you know, for a lack of a better term, you know, also mentally, and I was walking the dog and she said hi to the dog and then she kind of like followed me around on her skateboard. And I was like, you know what? She's kind of hot, you know? Like,
oh, fuck God. Her, you know?
So I invite her to my home to spend the night. She's itching the entire time. And I'm like, she's either got bed bugs or scabies, but fucking YOLO, whatever. Let's do this, you know?
Either one is going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly. She wouldn't sleep with me. And then so then she left the next morning, but then she kept coming back and knocking on the door looking for me, not knowing what my name was, knocking, asking my roommate, who was fucking a complete normie, who a kind of like whatever, a normie, not that normal, but a normie, because she like let a bunch of junkies live in her house or whatever, but would like ask you, like, hey, where's the guy with the dog? Like, didn't know my name, and she would have like all of her stuff in like fucking bags, you know, like showing up.
No way.
Upstairs, yes.
I was at a park one afternoon with like a group of my buddies, and I was sober, they weren't, and I convinced these two random dudes who we met while sitting in this field to have a threesome with me. And no then way. Like they were best friends, and we were like talking about sex, which is like what you do when you want to have sex. You just talk about sex until somebody's finally like, let's just do it, you know?
Yeah.
And because that's the best way to get someone to have sex with you. It's just talk about it. And anyways, I remember we went back to this dude's house. We like got back there. It was like the evening, early evening. And then I ended up sleeping over, and I woke up and the ugly one was like jerking off in a chair, was staring at me. And I was like, this feels weird. And the dude who was hot was like, you should have sex with him. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know? And so then I left, you know, and I don't know who they are. I don't know their names. I don't know anything about them, but I made them have a threesome with me.
That's amazing. Good for you.
Yeah. I remember this one dude, we met him at a bar. Me and my friend met him at a bar, and he was a really dirty, like yucky Portland kid. And he lived in a dirty, nasty basement. And he, oh God, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this story. He wanted to have sex with both of us, and we were kind of like, we don't want to fuck each other, we're friends. And he was like, you don't have to fuck each other, but you could touch a titty or something, you know. And I'd be like, we're like, okay, if that's what you want. And so we did, and my friend was like, actually, I don't really feel like having sex with him. And I was like, I guess I'll do it. So I did. And then like a couple days later, I was like, ugh, I wish I had someone to have sex with. So I called him and I went back by myself. Oh, also, me and my friend beat the shit out of him with wire hangers because he had a bunch of wire hangers. And we just like took condoms and like snapped them on him, you know, like we didn't use condoms, but we like, you know, and, I went back. So anyways, yeah, I went back a couple of days later to have sex with him. And I did something that no one should do, which is that I let him go from my V to my P back to my V. And it wasn't good the next day. Well, when it happened, I rushed to the bathroom and I like farted out blood and cum and like poo particles, you know?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's what we go through. So
wait, V to the P? What's V to the P? What's a P? What's a V?
Oh, so V is the vagina. P is the, I call it my poop shoot.
Oh, okay. Because I thought I was like the vagina or the pussy or the what? That's the same place.
I don't know. It's what I say.
These kids today, they're calling them different things. Anyway, yeah. Got it.
Yeah. So,
ouch. Bummer city.
Then the next day, I realized it didn't feel right. Mm. You know? And I went to the doctor and I had chlamydia. I had bacteria vaginosis. I had a yeast infection. I had a UTI and I had some STD I'd never heard of. So I was like really suffering. And I was on a plane that day too. And I was just like, things aren't looking up for me right now. And I had sex with him, I think, a couple other times. But Because you can't learn your lesson. You know what I mean? You just got to keep doing it until it's really the worst.
The one dude gave you all those diseases?
One night. Yep, one day.
That's incredible.
One dude, one night. Wow.
Well, the thing though is like a yeast infection is probably because he had a yeast infection, right? Like bacterial vaginosis is essentially like dirty dicks that have like some sort of nasty bacteria on them that like doesn't work well with like what you've got going on. And then like a UTI is like I probably didn't piss afterwards or something. You know what I mean? It's right. Just, like a bunch of bacteria in the puss. Oof. And then also like coming from my asshole to my pussy. So it's like poop. And you know, it's just like a lot of things like.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm gay now.
Good talk. good talk.
Wow. Oh,
man.
Yeah.
I got to really make sure my mom doesn't listen to this.
Your mom.
My mom gets all like, excited. She's like, look what you're doing. I was like, I'm on a podcast talking about things I don't want you to know about. I did that on the last podcast. I did it with the same thing.
I had to have that conversation as well with my mom. I was like, this is not for you.
Yeah.
Thank God my mom hasn't figured out podcasts yet. Shit.
I was just like, there are podcasts and you can find this podcast, but this is not for you. I was like, this is me talking about stuff that you don't know. You don't want to know it. And I wouldn't want you to hear it. So don't listen to it. And she was like,
yeah, I taught my mom. Yeah.
She was like, copy that. She just, you know, she has nothing.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I think we're good, right?
Like we got what we needed from you.
Yeah.
We're good now.
There it is. V to the B, Charlie.
No. Well, Danny had to be out, right?
I got a 420 out.
Oh, okay.
I feel whatever. I'm here.
That was great. We like to try and get one bonus story for our Patreon subscribers.
If there's anything
we didn't touch on.
Huh.
It's kind of always been that way, I think, too, for like a really long time.
I wonder what part of the country where it switches to powder.
It's like Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Actually, I've heard a lot of people in New York say they got powder.
Yeah, it's all China white.
It's a little bad.
Yeah, New York is always envelope China white.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Boston's the same. You know, where they're like Philly. I was in rehab with these dudes from Boston. You remember them, Keith? When they all came out here, they would go and like try to get loaded, and they'd be like, dude, what the fuck is this? They're like, this isn't fucking dope. Like, this is fucking, what is this shit? I'm like, that's what our, you know, that's what we have out here. And like,
yeah, it's called bullshit. Hard work.
Yeah. And then they would do it. They'd be like, this is bullshit. It's not white. It doesn't have a stamp, whatever. And then they'd do a shot and fall out, you know, and like get Narcan, come back in a detox and be like, fuck, dude, you're fucking, your shit out here is fucking strong. And I'm like, yeah, no.
How many of those dudes are dead? A gang of them, right?
Dude, so many. Everyone. So many. I lost a fucking, I got a kid that, 24 years old, this Tagger kid that just fucking died, you know, that like tried to get, today I got the news last night, you know, like another, you know, not a Boston dude, but it's like, I don't know, like I was thinking about it today and I'm like, I feel like I've lost more motherfucking people than anybody else I know over the last five and a half years. Like it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
Every week I fucking hear about somebody else. Every
I had a buddy die last week.
You know? You did?
Yeah, I had 9 years sober and went out for 2 months.
No Fuck. Way. Fuck.
Fuck. That bums me out.
I mean, they think it was fentanyl, but
I think it is. That people are not dying because of heroin right now. People are dying because there's fentanyl in their fucking heroin, or they can't find heroin, so they do fentanyl.
I
had a sponsee who just went out, and she was like, I couldn't get any heroin, so I got fentanyl instead. I was like, oh, that's casual. And like back in my day, we used to suck on those lollipops for fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
same.
We used to scrape the patches and then smoke them.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, like we used to do that for fun. It was so different. And now it's just like, so, I mean, everyone's just fucking dying.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone's dying.
Yeah.
Which is like, I feel, you know, this is morbid, but I'm so like immune to it at this point, you know, like there's definitely ones that hit close to home for sure, but I'm so immune to it. I'm just so used to everyone dying now.
Yeah.
Which is like,
I know.
Huh.
But
it gets to where it's like, you're not shocked. I'm never shocked anymore.
I'm not either. And right. I keep saying like, that's what happens when you go out, but sometimes yeah. that's the truth, you know?
But that's what happens when you go out, you know? Yeah. Fuck.
But it's like what you were saying earlier too, like about the depression and not leaving the house. I think right. that's what kind of, I think it was getting to Marty, you know?
I'm sure some of these people, the only interaction they had a lot of the time was like in a meeting.
Yeah.
Death is, it's such a different narrative when you are in a recovery community, even when you're in a not like even just in an addict community in general. Death is such a strange concept for everybody.
It's I'm telling you, like I grew up in the fucking prison system
mm-hmm.
and the first 2 years I was sober, I literally couldn't believe it. I was like, wait, what? You know what I mean? I was like, what do you, he's fucking dead and he's dead. And he, you know what I mean? Like I have the amount of people that you see die once you get sober is fucking baffling. You know?
Yeah. My like first three best friends that I met in meetings when I got sober died almost immediately. Six of my friends from rehab died within 2 months of getting out. Like, it just was immediate. It just, everyone kept dropping like flies.
Yeah, I think I couldn't even tell you how many people I went through treatment with that are dead. I mean, it's been 20 years, but at least fucking 20 of them. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
what's crazy is that list. Yeah. Keith, did I ever send you that list that I had? I went through that fucking, and I went through that place, community recovery, with Chris Batham, you know, the dude that was like fucking getting loaded with the girls and like, you put a, like, you know,
yeah.
like have like molesting fucking clients there, and taking him out of detox, getting him high, bringing him back to detox. I mean, just fucking, you know, like scum of the earth. But we have a list, and I think last count was 25 people from between like the four houses that we had. And I've only been sober, this was 5.5 years. I got July 9th. Like I, you know, it was like when I went into there.
Well, think about how many people you know who tried to get sober in fucking Newport Beach who are dead now.
Yeah.
Them motherfuckers. I mean, I've always, the Orange County thing, how many of them die?
That's what I mean.
Has always been, that's a whole nother fucking thing. And you know what? Like, I've always tried to figure it out, you know, because like, it's, I'm like, is it, you know, the one thing about Orange County, because I have a lot of my friends' kids, you know what I mean? Have gotten sober and shit. A handful have died. But I'm like, when I think about like that group, you know, I'm like, you know what it is like, no matter who you are, if you're getting loaded in Newport, somebody's parents have a gazillion fucking dollars.
Yep.
So you don't really get desperate. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy. It's easy to not get better when people are always going to take care of you. You know what I mean? The only people I ever see succeed in those situations are people who get cut off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too.
When I had like
this yesterday,
I had like a little over a year sober. I moved down there for a job, for an internship. I worked at Hurley, and so I was a part of that whole crew in Newport and Costa Mesa.
Charlie, how do we feel? Do we have it?
Yeah.
All right, word.
Michael's like, I don't want to be a part of this conversation anymore.
No, I gotta know. Different. You lost me at Hurley. I'm gonna jump, but Godspeed. Wonderful meeting you.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I gotta
wonderful.
Run too, Ann. Thank you so much
for the stories, Ann.
Yeah, guys, let me know. I sent a bunch of pictures. Like,
they're so good. Great. I saw them. Oh my god,
they are rad.
Oh, I have more. Cool. Like, if you want more, I can send them. But those are like some of the best ones. Some good.
No, those
ones.
Are fire. Fire.
Thank you so much for coming on and for your time.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Thanks so much for your time. So great.
All right, love all you fools. I'll talk to you soon.
Am I here?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay. Thanks for listening, you guys. Follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to Patreon. We'll have some nuggets in there for you.
Yeah, nuggets. And also, you know, we still got merch. And so hit us up. Get that Get your t-shirts. What else we got, Charlie? What other kind of merch is there? Hat?
We've got t-shirts. Hats coming.
Hats are coming. Right.
Yeah. The link's in our bio at Instagram, so give us a follow.
And take good care, everybody. We'll see you soon.
Bye, guys.
Later.